such a, yeah, such a blessing to just enjoy your presence together, Lord. Such a, yeah, it's just a privilege and a joy to come together, Lord. It's such an air of celebration this morning, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you that we can come together and rejoice in your goodness. And we can come together and just sit under your word. And this morning we consecrate this time to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher. Lord, our desire, Lord, is to be like Christ. Our desire is to be conformed to the image of your Son. Our desire, Lord, is to change and to grow and to become more like you, Father. And this morning we want to just yield again ourselves to that process. We say, yes, God, we realize we need to change. We realize we need to make shifts, mind shifts, and we need to repent of stuff, and we need to turn, and we need to, like, lifestyle changes, God. And this morning I thank you for grace to receive your word and grace to walk in it, God. In the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified in our midst, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh yeah, it's great to have some family with us. Got Jurgen's mom with us. Is that right? Yeah. And then Anna's family is visiting. So we've got some friends, some family from Canada, Anna's brother and his wife, and then Anna's sister as well. So welcome, guys. It's good to have you with us. I grew up, and my dad is an architect. So I always grew up, you know, when we started off, they still had these huge drawing boards. He still has one or two there at home somewhere. So that's why, you know, that was like part of the house furniture, and he was doing his thing there. And so I guess, you know, we had the best models when we had to build models for some class project. And I always had these very, very cool, interesting, you know, funky designs, and it's always cool. But I grew up with this interest in construction and design and that type of thing. So I would always kind of, if I walk past a building site, you know, you always kind of be curious what's happening. You know how they wall off the building sites? Aren't you curious? Aren't you like, why aren't they allowing us to see what's happening in there? You know, so they wall it off and it's all danger, don't go in and everything. But the funniest thing is when you go in a built up area, and when there has been a building, and they break it down and then they wall up the place, obviously a nice high wall, and then you can see nothing. Okay, so this is the first frustration, you can't see what's going on. And then what happens is, you can see there's lots of stuff coming and going, and trucks and lorries and lots of activity, but there's nothing going on. Have you seen that? There's no building. For months there will be stuff happening, and just lots of activity and trucks and, you know, loads of thing, you know, materials, and there's nothing. There's no building. Have you seen that? Okay, so... Sorry. So what happens then is you watch this thing, and then the one day when you're there at the right time, the gate is open, and you're like, have a sneak in there, have a look. And you see this, and this has happened to me more than once, you see this chasm, this hole. There was a building before, but now it's just this huge, massive hole, right? And it goes down, and you're thinking, my goodness, what? You know, these guys have changed their mind. They're building towards China or something because they're not going up. But and then you realize, okay, it's going to be a big one, right? Because they're going down, and they're going down way deep. And they're putting down foundations that are mind-boggling. If we look at the structures that go in there, and the how deep they go, and how much steel goes in there, how much concrete goes in there. And so when you see that, and you realize how long they've taken, how long they've been going down, you realize, okay, these guys have got a big plan. They're going high. I was at one stage, when I was in the Air Force, we visited the... I don't know if this is classified information, but just keep it to yourself. the Air Force HQ, I won't tell you where it is. Okay, so then you... I think it's got more floors under the ground than it has above ground. Which is odd. Okay, it's not normally like that. But it's because it's the... It's a South Africa now, okay? So if there were to be a nuclear attack, that would be where the government would be housed. I suppose this does sound like classified information. Okay, so just...
Do you have one of those flashy thingies that they use in Men in Black? You know, just look over here. Okay, so, okay, but that's not the norm. Normally, you've got the foundation, and the foundation determines how high you're going to build. And the interesting thing we saw in India was, firstly, the guys use funny scaffolding. Funny, not actually funny, ha-ha, funny scary. Because it's just like looks like sticks. They kind of put together, and it looks completely not stable. And you've got these things going up, and these guys climbing on them, and you're just thinking, my goodness. Obviously, the health and safety isn't really high on their list of priorities. Yeah, any case. So you got this funny scaffolding, but then you see a lot of the buildings. Finished buildings, you see, occupied buildings, let me say it like that, occupied houses, on the top floor, it's flat, many of them. And they have these pillars that stick up, and they've got these steel rods coming out, these steel reinforcements coming out of the pillars. And they're leaving space for expansion, you know, so they can build on later. So a lot of that buildings is quite funny, but that's the way they do things. A lot of the buildings already occupied, houses the same, but there is an option to build more floors. But now here's the trick. Even you cannot just decide, yes, let's go 20 stories. Again, those calculations they make beforehand. So then obviously every building then has a foundation of a certain sort. And that foundation depends then will determine how many more can you add, how many stories can you add later on. And there have been, unfortunately, have been incidences and obviously, I don't know all the details. I know one specific case in the Philippines. I'm not sure if it was in Manila, but on a campus where they had a building like that. It was built to a certain level, and then they extended it with a few floors. But guess what? They didn't really keep to the limit of the foundation. Then there was a big mess, and there was a earthquake. And most of the city actually was fine, but this one didn't make it. And unfortunately, quite a few people were killed. So there's the thing. We know this, okay? We know foundations are important when you build stuff. Interesting thing about in the UK, though, which doesn't happen where we come from, where I come from, where I grew up, is you know, people like getting a bit of extra space. So loft conversions, right, happening all over the place. You run out of space and you do a loft conversion, you gain a few meters, and it's cool. What happens then? Then you run out of space again, then you... Have you seen the guys that do a basement? It's like crazy. It's also a bit scary. While you're living in the house, digging a basement. In any case, it's amazing what they can do these days. But then, again, they have to really seriously change and adjust the foundations. So this morning, let's see what the Word has got to say. Let's see what Jesus has got to say about this this concept. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start at 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine... Okay, now, even before verse 21 where I started, there's a lot in this chapter. Okay, so you need to go and read some of that. But so he's talking about all these things that he's been saying. And he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, now you notice here, both are hearing. All right? So the problem is not the hearing. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came, and winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Excuse me. growing up, living outside Pretoria on a small holding, a small farm, right? For the Brits, it was about 5 hectares. So in UK terms, it's huge. Okay, it's a huge piece of land, and can't imagine you've got so much space and only use a little bit of it. But so just above our piece of land, there was just up the hill, there was a across the road. There was a big piece of land, a beautiful forest, and a dam, right? Man-made dam, not huge, but I suppose like 150 meters across. So we obviously love to go there, play around, catch fish, whatever is there to catch, and do naughty things. And but the one day we had this huge rain, cloud burst, and proper rain, which is a blessing, right? And but it came; it was a bit too much. So guess what? The dam broke, and this is quite a amazing thing to see. Not so cool when you're living below the dam, though. But guys, I don't know. At those days, I didn't have an understanding of this. But when I think about it now, I just realize miracle, huge grace, because the water came past the house. Some of it came around, but most of it came kind of took the road, which is, makes sense. There was a road, the road of least resistance, and it unfortunately the neighbor down below us wasn't so lucky, but the water went down there and missed the house. But to see how that water, what it did in those few seconds that it came past there, mind-boggling. Where the road used to be, thanks very much, where the road used to be, it was a dirt road, there was a river. And not only, it was like, we could actually get in, like where the road, say the road surface was here, we were like playing in holes about this deep, in there, like just washed out, huge holes, huge stuff that has just been washed out. So they're just these gorges, and lots of fun, obviously. Not so much fun for the neighbor that was driving down there and trying to get to his house, because it looked fine, because there's obviously all water, and then he hit one of the bigger holes, and then his new BMW. It was a Mercedes. He had to get out the window. In any case, why I'm saying this is that I saw the power of that water and how that storm in one night did a massive amount of damage. And when we went to go up and have an overlook at the dam where it actually broke, it's just this huge gap in the wall, dam wall, and then below it, destruction. Everything is just wiped. And although it wasn't a massive dam even, and this is what this guy's talking about. He's talking about, Jesus talking about here. He's talking about a storm. And in life, this is the reality, okay? There are going to be storms. if we think of what we were talking about last week and what we're going to be talking about for a while, is about discipleship, about growing in Christ, about being conformed to the image of Christ. How many of us here can think just now in a minute, and we can think of a few people that we know that started well, that were on fire for God, running with Him, growing, you know, and while we're thinking, wow, this guy's going to go far for the Lord, and then somehow something goes wrong, and people fall away or people get distracted, and years down the line you meet this person or you. You know, you chat to them and you realize, wow, this guy is not really walking with the Lord anymore. Okay, so most of us, I reckon, here can think of a few people like that. So this is a reality. Okay, there's a lot of people that have started building, But something was missing in the foundations. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. But if you're looking at storms, right? The storms of life we can't avoid. Christ actually guarantees it. He says, listen guys, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be testing. There's a lot of words that he uses that are, if you really think about them, I think this is not good news that he's giving us. But obviously with it, you know, he says, when he talks about tribulation, he says, I've overcome the world. So, but he tells us, listen, there is things you will not be able to avoid. The storms of life we cannot avoid. Okay, are you with me? We know this. We need to remember this when we preach the gospel. No, it's not going to be all moonshine and roses and everything is amazing when we come to Jesus. Yes, there are going to be storms. And we need tough times. And there's going to be a cross we have to carry. That's the truth. But what we can do, we cannot avoid the storms, but what we can do is we can build in a way that we will, the people we build, and whether we're building our own lives, when we're growing as a disciple, or when we're building into somebody else's life, discipling someone, we can build stormproof. We can build in a way that we can prove, we can make sure that what we're building here will be able to withstand the storms of life. What we build here, with the foundations that we're laying, will be strong enough in the first instance, for God to do whatever He needs to do in this person's life, to build on those foundations, and secondly, to withstand the storms that will come. And they will come. And so when we look at this context of making disciples, and we just quickly look at that graph again. It's not my best work of art, but it'll do for the illustration. As we mentioned last week, okay, we've got these phases of growth that all the clever guys that have done all these studies have identified. For those of you who weren't here last week, we looked at reasons why people grow, reasons why people stop growing, and reasons why people, reasons for spiritual growth. So what they've come up with, they've said, when people come to Christ, they have an encounter with God, they have an encounter with Jesus, obviously they get born again, and they gain a lot of knowledge, and they have these experiences with God. That's what causes that first growth spurt. But that will peter out, that will kind of plateau, unless the next thing also happens, and that's a lifestyle, where we have the lifestyle of a disciple established in your life. So I don't only know about things, I'm not only having an experience with God, I'm now having a change in the way I live. So the basic disciplines of being a disciple are being established in my life. So we're talking about giving and reading the word, serving in church, praying, all basic stuff, but lifestyle stuff. Not random here and there, lifestyle changes. And we found that when those things are established and get established in our lives, that's when we find another steep growth curve. But even that kind of plateaus out unless you add the last bit. And so we see the ownership. So even when you have those things established in terms of lifestyle, there comes a place where we need to take ownership. Ownership of a person that we're discipling, ownership of ministry, ownership of something in the kingdom, in the community we're living in. And that kind of then takes us into, almost referred to as like a spiral of growth. Because you've got a place where you say, okay, now I'm responsible for this person, I'm responsible for some things, and now I'm seeking the face of God about it. So now I'm encountering God again on a different level. I'm seeking to learn more about this thing or this because now I'm responsible for it. Okay, so now I'm growing in knowledge and I'm encountering God in a new way. I'm making lifestyle changes because now I'm responsible for something. Okay, so just in terms of recapping. But now this morning we're looking at some of the basic things that need to happen at the beginning. The foundations that we need to lay, whether it be in our own lives or whether it be in somebody's life that we are discipling. Okay, so let's look at what is necessary. How do we build these foundations and how do we build stormproof? How do we build in a way that is stormproof? Now, the first thing about spiritual foundations is strong spiritual foundations are formed by obedience to God's word. Okay, that's the basic. If you want to build strong foundations, it's going to require obedience to the word of God. Let's quickly have a look at Hebrews chapter 5. From 7 to 9, talking about Jesus here, in the days of his flesh, when he was on the earth, in the days of his flesh, we had in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, now this is, we're talking about Christ here, right? Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Even though he was a son, the Son of God, he learned obedience. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation. And this is quite interesting or powerful that this is the same context here. Eternal salvation to whom? To all who obey him. So again, we see the absolute critical part that obedience plays here. And if you think about it, just without distracting myself too much, if you think about a kingdom and a king, you know, are we really subjects of a king if we don't really obey the king? Or if we kind of just do things on our own terms, and the king does his own thing and I do my own thing and everybody's happy. So we recognize that obedience to the word, obedience to the king is critical. And this is something... Sorry. This is one of the first things when we are walking a road with someone, right, that we need to establish, even in our own lives, that we make a decision, and you come to kind of a, it's one of those, it's almost a habit you have to establish, but it's a quality decision one makes, and you realize, okay, I decide that I'm going to obey Scripture. And that means that whenever I come to a revelation of what Scripture is requiring of me, when I'm reading the Word, and as you know, we can read the same Scripture 100 times, and every time there's something else that comes out of it. Okay, so reading the Word, I get a revelation of something God is saying to me, and I have to decide myself, nobody else can force me to do this, somebody can walk the road with me, but I have to decide that, yes, that if this happens, if I get a revelation, I will comply implicitly to what Scripture demands of me. So that's one of the basics. When you're making disciples, when we're walking the road with Christ, when you're following Him, a commitment to implicitly comply to the demands of Scripture. And this is one of those keys, I reckon, and that we have to learn early on. And then we see that, I suppose, with children as well. Even now, I mean, Abigail's not even 1.5 yet, but I can see if we get a few things right now, we're going to save ourselves a lot of issues later on. I don't think I should tell you what happened. She doesn't want to go to sleep these days. So then I have to encourage her. She stands up in her cot. So then I have to encourage her to lie down. Last night I said to her, listen, this is what's going to happen. You're going to lie down. Otherwise, we in our house, it's called a pitz. Okay? It's an encouragement on the backside. Okay. So I was, and then she looks at me, serious, says, yeah. Just like that, she's got this new thing. She says, she just goes, yeah. So she says, yeah. And then she lies down. So praise God, you know. I did have to later on remind her, but we're getting there, right? So this is a key. And the quicker we can get this established in our life, the moment I get a revelation of Scripture, it means I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to comply. I'm going to have to implicitly obey. And not next week, not after we had a committee meeting, not after fasting and praying for 3 weeks. Are you with me? You know, we get so fuzzy about these things. This is a key. Implicitly complying to the demands of Scripture. Okay. And this is one of the key things that we learn at intercession. I want to encourage you guys. And intercession, a big part of what we do is we hear from God. We seek His face and we hear from God. And when we hear something, we act on it. Whether it means to pray for what God is saying us, we're telling us to pray for, or whether it means to go and do something, or whatever it means, this is the point of intercession, is to hear from God, and then whatever He tells us, we do. So that's absolutely critical to walking a life of a disciple. Being walking and following Christ. All right. So let's look at those. I just want to look at three key things that we need in that first foundational phase. Okay. In the first stage of growth, the three most important things, and there will be others, the three most important ones. Firstly, to be established in faith. Okay, so this isn't rocket science. When you want to follow Christ, first thing we establish in is what we believe. What do we believe about Jesus? What do we believe about the cross? It doesn't have to be a 12-year degree in theology, but to get the basics of what we believe entrenched in a person's life, to make sure that foundation is laid, that you and I can sit and know. I know what I believe. I know what I put my faith in. And to be honest with you, there was a time in my life where I had an idea. I knew I had an experience with God, so I didn't question that. I knew God changed my life, okay? I knew I was born again. I knew He delivered me of stuff. But if somebody had to sit me down and say, can you explain to me how salvation works? I would have struggled. Can you explain to me from the Scripture, how does this work? What do I do? How do I get saved? I would have been able to tell them what happened to me, which is a great start, okay, and don't get me wrong. But I wouldn't really have been able to. And only when I started with the Spiritual Growth Series and when I became a member of Shofar, then I was growing to a place where this makes a lot of sense. This is what I've experienced. So now what I've experienced, I could actually explain in terms of scriptural terms. And I could now actually walk the road with somebody else. But that even took another step. And then, you know, when Pastor Sears and the guys started challenging me to actually teach at foundations. Then when you realize, okay, now I have to make sure I have this down right. It takes it on to a whole different dynamic. But faith, what is it we believe? Let's quickly have a look at just that principle in Romans 10. Very briefly, just then. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's the second bit that we're going to talk about. Our faith is established by hearing and putting in the Word. Who is Christ? Who is He in my life? What do I believe about Him? And that's why when we're speaking to a young believer, always encourage them to read the Gospels. Don't start with Leviticus. If you're a young believer, Leviticus is a blessing, okay? But if you want to know Christ, start with Matthew. And just encourage them, warn them about the genealogies, okay? Just give them a heads up, because people will get distracted and discouraged. There's going to be lots of names, but just read through the names and you'll be home free. You know, start with Matthew, but pray. Pray, ask Holy Spirit, I want to see Christ. As I read the Scripture, show me who Jesus is. This is why we read the Gospels, because we want to know Christ, right? We want to know Him because we want to be like Him. And that's what Tienz was saying the other day. If we read the Gospels in that way, you know, it's different. It's different when we read it and we say, okay, this is interesting. Jesus does a weird thing here. It's not really cool, or I don't really agree with it. But the reality is, I've got to do the same. All right? So read in a different way. Ask the Holy Spirit to show us Jesus as we read the Gospels. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I remember going on to an evangelism course in Vienna. What was it? In the year 2000. And Austria, and the guy that was ministering to us was from Norway. Huge, looked like a Viking soldier type of guy, long hair, tattoos all over. You could have seen this guy on. He was a bit older then already, but I think at his prime, it would have broken you in half. Eh? It's just a huge, muscular guy. And he came from a life of terrible crime and gangsterism, and he was a pimp and had lots of prostitutes working for him and drugs and guns and whatever you can imagine. Okay, sorry. And he got saved, obviously, and radically changed, huge, amazing God, what a God in his life. But he had so much junk in his mind. He had so much filth in his head because of his life that he had literally had to put on a, I think it was a tape in those days, he had to put on a tape in his room night by night. He slept with the word in his just being played over tapes. And the word, and the scripture speaks of the washing of the word. And this is what was happening. He was, for I don't know how long he did this, but he had to literally allow the word, even in his subconscious when he's sleeping, to cleanse him, to get rid of all this rubbish, and to establish faith in him. So this is how he went about it. I suggest you can do that as well, but it's good to do it when you're awake as well. Okay. Good to do both. Okay, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And this is the second one. Okay, first one is faith, second one is the word. Psalm 1. This is a good one to memorize, right? Absolute key. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law, or other translations, in the word of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I don't know about you guys, but this looks good. This looks like if the solid building we were hearing about that's built on the rock, this sounds like that building in tree form, right? It's planted. It's by rivers of water. It's bringing forth fruit. It leaves shall not wither. So when the storms and the weather changes and stuff, it's not gonna change. Whatever he does shall prosper. So this is an absolute key. And guys, this is I believe this is something we've been dodging and we've been kind of avoiding. And when we encourage people, we say, oh, you know what, do 5 minutes, or we just, but I think we've lost understanding of how much it means, how much we feed our spirits when we read the word. How much we, and this is not an intellectual exercise. Please remember this. We have a lot of very clever people here, a lot of highly educated people. This is not an intellectual, this is not, I feel, stimulated intellectually. Okay, this is, some days it will be like that. Okay, because I can promise you, there's a lot in the Bible that our scientists even haven't figured out yet. But more often than not, it's an understanding that what I'm doing now, I'm studying the Word, I'm meditating on the Word, I'm feeding my spirit. I'm eating spiritually. I can't fast spiritually. You know, it's like, I've seen this in my own life, guys. If we fast spiritually, it's not blessed. Okay, we need to feed our spirits. We need to feed ourselves with the Word. And it's an absolute basic of following Christ. Two, if we're really honest with ourselves, and again, I've seen this in my own life, when my relationship with the Word is not good, guess what? My relationship with Jesus is also not good, because they are the same. You cannot have a relationship with Christ and not have a relationship with His Word. They are the same. Jesus is the Word. Okay. So when you're encouraging someone, when you're walking around with someone, even in your own life, this is key, the Word of God. And this is one of the sessions that we're actually working through for the conference, where Courtney Becker talks about us honoring the Word and us having understanding of what the Word means in our lives, and an understanding of what it means to walk in the Word. Okay. Then the third one, I'll probably have to take some time next year, I suppose, to go into some of these in a little bit more detail. I'm just going to kind of lay the foundation. So the third one is church community. Okay, so we got, firstly, when we have to get to a standing of obedience. Right? And I reckon, it's not like we can say step 1 to 5. A lot of these things happen at the same time, if you think about it. can't talk about obedience if you're not talking about reading the word, if you're not talking about what we believe. So those things, they all work together. And then, yeah, so we've said faith, the word, and community. And these three legs are like the three, if you have a three-legged table, you can only remove one of them and it's not going to be cool. Okay, the table's going to go down. And now guys, I've seen this in lives. I've seen people's lives. I've seen people that are strong in the word. I've seen people strong in their faith. But they're not in community. And they struggle. And when the storms come, it's chaos. Or people that are strong in community, strong in faith, but the word is, that leg is kind of a bit shaky. It's problems. When the storms come, you don't want a shaky leg, right? You want a firm foundation. Hebrews chapter 10. I write it to the Hebrews, encouraging the guys in these things. From verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and as much and so much more as the as you see the day approaching. So, Oi. I don't know if it's Abigail or who was first. But okay, so we see here a few things. But this is interesting, because even in those days it says there were some that were forsaking, or other translation says neglecting, the assembling of ourselves together. So even in those days, the guys had problems with guys don't come to church or don't come to small group, or, you know. And he's saying, he's encouraging the guys. He says, guys, don't forsake the assembling. Don't neglect, the translation is, don't neglect the assembling of ourselves together, but we exhort one another. And then he says, so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, if Paul, or the writer to the Hebrews, had an urgency about this, and we see Christ, he says it's coming soon. Okay, this is 2,000 years ago. So those guys already had that urgency. How much more do we need to have an urgency as we see the day approaching? If we look at what's happening in the world, maybe go read Matthew 24 again, or, you know, talks about wars and famines and natural disasters. I've seen one or two statistics about the increase of earthquakes over the last couple of years. It's absolutely mind-boggling in terms of how it's increased in just the last couple of years. So there's an urgency, because we see the day approaching, right? We see Jesus is coming soon. So there's an urgency for us not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together, not to neglect the community, the fellowship of the saints. So now, in our context, that, yes, we've got some formal ones. We've got church on a Sunday. We've got small groups. But beyond that, guys, I mean, an urgency for us to make sure we're encouraging one another. We're covering one another in prayer. And then when somebody comes in, they need to be pulled in. I've experienced, I remember when I came to the UK the first time and was living here, I wasn't in the church. I was visiting lots of churches. Okay, not that many, but I visited a few. People, I was calling it, people call it shopping for church, or church hopping, almost the same. I don't know, I think I've told you my opinion about things like that, but that's not biblical. And I experienced that. I experienced the Lord actually showed me that picture. Showed me the picture of the little coal in a fire, beautifully hot, going for it, you know, red hot. And then when this coal is like removed and put on the side, it kind of it just dies. So that's what I was experiencing. I was experiencing blessing and provision and a lot of cool things, but I experienced a change in the growth and I experienced a change in terms of covering and protection and all kinds of things. And the Lord really had to remind me that I need to be in a church quick. So I got into church, I got into covering, under covering, and changed. We know that, but how important is it for us to encourage a new believer, somebody that's on the fringe, to become part of the community? And this is not a teaching, guys. This is not something that you sit down and you give them a teaching on being a part of a church. We've got to pull them in, invite them to stuff, be part of our friendship group, come with us when we do paintball or whatever, come with us when we have our mom's group. It's going to have to happen. You know, we have to pull those people in. Faith, the word, community. And a part of a community is covering our blind spots, covering each other in accountability. You know, we've spoken about blind spots before, stuff I don't even know of. That's why marriage is such a blessing, right? You've got somebody that knows all your blind spots and that loves you anyway, and that can pray for you and cover your blind spots. That's why we have friends. That's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ. Somebody I love enough to say, listen, I know you're not seeing this now, but you've got this huge blind spot in this area. And I love you. I love you enough to actually talk to you about it. Cover each other. Be accountable to what God is telling us to do. Accountable to what we feel Him saying to us. Accountable to, yes, Pete, I've had this revelation of Scripture. I'm sharing my revelation with Pete. You know what Pete should do? He should say, okay, Jacob, but now how are you going to do that? How are you going to walk in that thing? But you know what? Sometimes somehow we avoid that. We say, yo, that's blessed, brother. It's blessed. Obviously, you were deep in it this morning. You were like with Gabriel there having tea. It was such a deep revelation. But Pete should say, Jacob, you know what? Let's do it. How is your life going to change to actually for you to walk in that revelation? That's why we need people next to us. Guys, I'm not going to, you don't know the person I'm talking about, but we're ministering to somebody who's not in church. And marriage is falling apart. Wheels are coming off. And last weekend, the guy tried to commit suicide. Now, it's hectic out there. Storms of life, right? But I know for a fact, if that person was part of our church community, would never have come to that place. Are you with me? So, and this is what we're trying to do now. It's in Wimbledon. Pulling the guy in. You know, trying to get him part. And praise God, we've been praying for him for months at intercession, so he wasn't successful. I know God's got a plan. God will restore that marriage. But the storms out there are hectic, guys. The times we're living in, we cannot afford not to have a support structure. Cannot afford not to have a place where we can join together and cover one another. Okay. Let me close there. So the question this morning, how are we doing? Is in our own lives, but we've talked about obedience, we've talked about being established in faith, being established in the word, being established in community. I want to ask, is your life stormproof? When tough times come, how's it going? And if you notice it's not going so well, or are you isolated, are any of these legs a bit shaky? What change needs to happen? Please stand with me this morning. We're just going to briefly pray. I also want to encourage us, as we mentioned last week, if you break it down to the basics, right? Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whatever your qualification or your job description is, you and I are where we are in the job that we're in the situation and the circumstances we're in. We are there because that's the place God has put us to become more like Jesus. Okay? If you are in a specific job, experiencing challenges and people are treating you badly or whatever, or you're having great success and making lots of money, Don't forget that the reason that you are there is to become more like Christ. And part of that, obviously, is to be, to love people and to heal the sick and raise the dead and all those things and make disciples. But let's make it simple. Don't lose that. Let us not lose sight of that thing. God's blessing me in my job. I'm going like a Boeing, you know, it's just glory to glory. I'm earning millions of pounds. God's saying, don't miss the point. I've put you there so that you can become like Christ. You know, if you're doing a degree, or a lot of guys are studying, do it. Go full out. But know that even there, God has put you to become like Jesus. And this is the question. Are we establishing, have we got those foundations in place? And for those that we are walking with, are we establishing firm foundations so that that will be storm-proof? Because the storms will come. And when they come, it's going to be the proof in the pudding. But obviously, guys, this is not this is a road we walk, okay? So this is not a condemnation thing. This is a thing of, okay, there are things that need to change for me to become like Christ. There are things that I need to grow in, and there are things I need to walk with my brother with so that he can grow in them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, it's such a blessing, Lord, to see even the life of Christ, Lord, that even though he was the Son of God, he was fully man, and he had to learn obedience, Lord. He had to learn through what he suffered, God. And often we don't understand why we suffer. Often we don't get why we're going through difficult times, God. And I thank you this morning just that you open our eyes again to realize, yes, there will be storms, God. There will be tribulations. And even Christ didn't dodge them, Lord. And Lord, I thank you just for even an embracing of that, Father, and understanding that you have made provision for us. You will never... Thank you that you promised to never test us beyond what we are able to bear, Lord. You promised never to tempt us beyond what we are able to resist, God. You know exactly what we can handle, Father. And this morning we yield to that, Lord. We honor you in that. We acknowledge, God, yes, God, you know better than I do. And I trust you, Lord. I trust you with my life, God. And this morning, yeah, we just want to humbly come before you, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you'd open our eyes to see where we're at in terms of these foundations, Lord. Foundations of obedience to the Scriptures, obedience to you, Father. Foundations of faith, what we believe, Lord. Being firmly rooted in the Word. Eating, feeding ourselves with the Word, Father. God, and I pray even for myself, God, that you give us a greater hunger for your Word, Lord. A greater capacity, Lord. That we would create in ourselves a capacity for your Word, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. And as well, thank you even for the community, the fellowship of the saints, God. We thank you, Lord, that you, that each part of the body has a role to play. We thank you, Lord, that you've made us to be together, Father. And we honor you, Father. We thank you for this family that you've put us in, Lord. We thank you for every person that's such a blessing to us. At the same time, we recognize when one member is hurting, the body is hurting. God, and we ask that you open our eyes, Lord, that we would pull in those that are hurting, those that aren't in, that are on the fringes, Father. Help us to draw them in, God. Oh, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that I thank you for a boldness this morning, even in this next 2 weeks, God, to actually walk in the revelation that we get from your word. Because we know you have made provision for us, Lord. And this morning we take a hold of that provision. And beyond that, we take a hold of our inheritance, God, as sons and daughters of Christ, Lord. And I thank you for these next 2 weeks, even, Lord, that we would draw near to you, Father. And I thank you, even as we go into a new year, Lord, I thank you that you'd establish in our heart a hope and a resilience and a determination, God, to grow and to be more like you, Father, to put our faith in you and to have our trust in the knowledge that you are the one. You are the one that's faithful to complete the work in us, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to respond to the word specifically, please come to the front. I'd love to pray with you.